Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your first time listening, then thank you for taking the time to join in this movement. Most people who tune in regularly are artists and designers who are seeking a transformational style of education. So if you're someone currently looking to start a studio, or you're pursuing a career as a full-time artist, or just trying to get the job of your dreams, then you are in the right place. The good news is that there is some method to the madness. We're not just randomly talking about things. We have three episode types, which includes our well-known series of dialogues entitled Well Read. Our three segments collectively answer questions regarding personal development, professional practice, and artistic inspiration. And as you might have heard, our current summer lecture series is brought to you in part by Salonier, a brand new trend and philosophy platform by the design studio Bodega. Now, let's face it, if you've been in business a while, then you know how strange it feels to talk to clients and partners about trends. Most people just avoid the conversation altogether, because they have no way of defending or standing up for any creative decision they make. As you know, this frustration alone can cost you clients, retainers, referrals, and the list kind of goes on. So that said, how would you feel if I told you that you could access the exact research methods, frameworks, and insights used to help clients like Nike, High Snobiety, and Business of Fashion think through their strategy? This is what Salonier is all about. The fact is that marketing and brand directors pay loads of cash every year for these same insights, and Salonier is making them available to you for just a fraction of the price. Good news is that just for Educated Guest listeners, Salonier is offering a special discount code. So if this sounds like something you need, then just head to salonierpaper.com and enter the promo code EducatedGuest20 to receive 20% off your subscription. Again, that's salonierpaper.com and enter the promo code EducatedGuest20 to receive 20% off your subscription. We'll also have the link in the show notes as well. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the content today. Like I mentioned, we have three types of episodes, and today I wanted to dive deeper into one of the solo lectures. It's been a while since you've heard directly from me, mostly because it's been super busy, and like I've said before, I don't want to come at you unless I have something meaningful to say. And today I want to talk specifically about one of the common problems I'm seeing from a lot of people who've reached out to us directly, who've sent DMs, who've sent emails, who've thanked us for things, and usually it's along the lines of leveling up in their career. And whatever you might be doing, a lot of people who listen to this show aren't necessarily designers. I recognize that a lot of people might have aspirations of doing something different with their art form, whether it's dance, whether it's, rap, whether it's poetry, whether it's whatever it is. I think the same principles apply across the board for whatever we're talking about. And today, as you might have guessed by the show episode title, I want to talk to you about the difference between skills and attributes. I'll start with a quick story, and I think I'm going to try to keep it anonymous, mostly because just like conversations I'm having with many different people. But I've been having a lot of conversations along the lines of what's the difference between the best people you've seen along the way in your young career and some of the people who've fallen by the wayside. And I'm still young. I'm in my late 20s, so I've been living long enough to see people who were nice in high school not be nice anymore, see people who were nice in college sort of fall off, and see people early in their career that are nice and then just sort of stop. And I wonder along the way, man, what's going on? What's the difference? And how do I make sure that I'm not falling off? And I think a lot of times what I've seen is there's always one simple truth. The simple truth is this. You can teach someone how to be successful in one arena, but if they don't understand the principles of success, of what it means to be excellent, if you put them in a different arena, if you put them in uncertain circumstances, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know what to do. And that's the main difference I've found in recent conversations that separates, the average person from someone who's going to be great. And a lot is talking, if you've been following us for quite a while and you've heard my voice specifically for quite a while, then you know my love for sports. And quite frankly, I was watching First Take on ESPN just a little while ago, and they were talking about who's had the better post-career story. Has it been Derek Jeter or Alex Rodriguez? And if you came up, if you're around the same age as me, you're a little bit older, and you came up with baseball in the 90s, baseball in the 90s was a vibe. You know, obviously pushed up against the steroid era, but there were some amazing stories, amazing rivalries, amazing people, and just amazing characters that were in MLB at the time. And when you think about it, I think this is very applicable what I'm talking about today, because when you think about the skill set and the overall just pure baseball expertise between Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod was definitely the better prospect. Definitely the better prospect. I mean, the guy, for Christ's sake, he was coming out of high school, he was being recruited for baseball and football for University of Miami, one of my favorite, like the only team I've ever cried for when they lost. So if you know me personally, you know how big of a Miami fan I am. And he decided to go play baseball. You know the story. He got drafted by the Mariners, played with Ken Griffey. That was a whole vibe. And went to the Rangers. And then now he's, you know, an analyst after spending years and years with the Yankees and all that good stuff. And then he just recently bought the Bucks. Not the Bucks, the Timberwolves. So why am I telling this story about baseball players? Like, why does that even matter? Because if you paid attention to baseball in the mid-2000s, I guess, when A-Rod was traded to the Yankees, I think he was traded to the Yankees in 2004. So when he was traded to the Yankees, guess who didn't move their position? A-Rod and Derek Jeter were both shortstops. But when A-Rod came to the Yankees, guess who played third base? Guess who switched? And guess who had to come to whom to win a championship? So the same principles apply. And the reason I use these examples specifically from sports is because as you start thinking about your career, as you start thinking about, you know, those who fall off and those who don't, those who need help and those who help, start assessing, like take inventory of what your skills are, but more importantly, take inventory of what your attributes are. And the very simple distinction between what an attribute is versus what a skill set or a skill is simply the degree of uncertainty. Skills don't tell us how we're going to operate when the environment turns to an uncertain environment. You can't apply a known skill to an unknown environment. I can teach somebody how to spearfish. I don't even know how to spearfish myself, so I can actually teach them that. A good example, I grew up playing golf, so I can teach somebody how to hit a golf ball on the driving range, but if I put them in 15-mile-an-hour wind with no trees on a course with Bermuda greens that are running at a 13 on a stimp meter with pot bunkers all around it and water behind the green, and it's 172, and you got to know how far to hit it and which club to hit, it's two completely different things, like I just said. Because most people listening, and this is not even a flex, people flex about whatever they know about, but it's just me saying what I know. Most people who just heard me say what I said have no idea what I just said. But those who know what the big difference is. And that's why people on the PGA Tour get paid as much as they get paid. That's why professional baseball players get paid what they get paid. And that's why any professional in their field gets paid what they get paid. Because the difference is, there might be some architects listening right now. There might be some brand identity experts, so to speak, listening right now. There might be some graphic designers. The difference between a graphic designer that you can go pay $275 on Fiverr or, you know, Udemy, or not Udemy, one of the freelancer.com or Upwork. I knew it started with Upwork. And those are all great platforms. They're great for what they're great for. However, I would argue that as soon as you commoditize your service into something that's easily replaceable, you're banking and you're challenging others on skill set. That's like having a long drive contest. That's like having a home run derby. If you recognize, not many people who were in the home run derby, who ever won the home run derby, not many of those people that I know of actually won World Series titles. Derek Jeter never won a home run derby. but he's a champion. Like, that, these are the reasons why you don't see LeBron and these folks in the dunk contest all the time. It's like, bro, like, they're not here for the attribute. They're not here for the skills. It's not a skills challenge that they're playing. They're not playing a skills game. They're playing a game of attributes. So I would just leave you with a couple of things that are worth remembering, worth thinking about. And you might be asking, like, well, what's an attribute? Like, what's the deal? Like, how do I know if I got it or if I don't? Well, the first thing that I would ask you is, how resilient are you? What's your level of resilience? And a good measure for that is, how long does it, like, if you, everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing at this age. If you're listening to this and you're trying to get better at whatever it is you're doing, you know the good things you should be doing. You know the bad things that you should be doing. And the one measure of resilience that I personally take, and that you, I recommend that you take, is to simply assess how long it takes. How many hours do you let go by as lost hours? Right? So a good example is, for me, drinking's a thing. Meaning, it's a negative activity that I don't really feel too great about anymore. I mean, I don't really mind drinking. Like, I love the taste of alcohol. I love the craft of alcohol, I should say. I love learning the story about, you know, how things are brewed, how things are distilled, you know, the stories about the makers, the backstories about how they brand it, how they, you know, how it travels regionally, all these. I love the story of how companies are built. I think that's what's interesting to me, and specifically about the product. I love the engineering behind it all. And as such, you know, I participate, you know, when there's opportunity. But one thing I know about me is that when I have two, maybe three beers, you know, I'm not drunk or anything like that. It's not that big of a deal, but you recognize the difference, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody knows that moment, whether it's drinking, whether it's watching a YouTube, whether it's watching Netflix, whether it's watching, you know, I always know that there's a marginal, there's diminishing returns past a certain point, right? Like, everybody knows it's okay to watch one Netflix show, two Netflix shows. But when you click on that third Netflix, that third episode, this, like, also an hour, 55 minutes long, when you ask for that third beer, when you ask for, you know, a large fry, or you ask for two fries in one day, you know what I mean? Like, these type of decisions are makers of what could create a lost, what I call lost hours or lost days. And the difference I've seen between, you know, resilient, we're talking about resilience here in the context of an attribute. The difference I see is the great ones don't lose days. They don't lose days. They might lose some hours. And the really great ones I've found are tracking lost minutes. It's like, oh man, that meeting sucked. That was a lost 30 minutes. Oh man, like, that was a terrible phone call. That's lost 15 minutes. What most people are doing is they get off a bad phone call, bad meeting, bad presentation. Then they call the next person and then they talk about how bad the last thing was. So it turns into not just 60 minutes of negativity, but now it's 120 minutes of negativity, followed by maybe I'm going to go burn off some of this energy. I'm going to go smoke, or I'm going to go drink, or I'm going to go watch Netflix, or I'm going to go, you know, eat something. So you're compounding the negativity. Now that's how you lose a day. And this is why I say resilience is a great measure, one of the great measures of how well your attributes are. And, you know, you can measure your attributes however you want to. I recommend resilience. I recommend grit. I recommend adaptability. I recommend evaluating your sympathetic response times, essentially your fight or flight symptoms and your ability to respond during times of stress. What do you reach for comfort? What are you reaching for support? A lot of these things, and I like to keep a list of about five with me at all times, just so I can make sure I'm tracking the right things. You know, whenever I'm trying to see, like, if I did a good job or not, I'm not comparing apples. I'm not comparing apples to oranges, because anytime you compare to somebody else, I'm an apple, they're an orange. So what is my apples to apples comparison within? You know, I'm not asking, well, how good of a job did I do in drawing this picture? Like, I don't know. How good of a job did Duchamp do when he, or how great is Duchamp and his ability to make a urinal into a piece of art? Like, how was it? What is that? Like, what skill is that? Like, that's not a skill. That's an attribute. That's something that comes from a place of originality, that comes from a place of ambition, that comes from a place of flexibility, of modesty. It comes from being organized, knowing what to do once you have an idea. Like, these are different types of attributes that are worth evaluating. You can go find your own set. I just like to rotate them consistently. I would recommend just do a simple search. Go Google a couple of adjectives that make sense for you in terms of attributes, and figure out which ones you're evaluating. Figure out which ones you're evaluating. You know, for me, I like to go for clarity. I like to go for necessity. I like to go for courage. These are at least three that I track every day. And then they kind of interchange here and there. So I would highly recommend just going and evaluating where you are with regard to your attributes. And most people might be like, oh, well, man, like, what is he talking about? Like, this ain't even applicable to me. Okay, cool. It might not be. And that's the risk that I run in doing these, right? But one thing I do know, and one thing that I'm sure of, is if you clicked on this, and if you got on your podcast app, or you found us on Instagram, and if you made it this far, then I'm absolutely sure you were looking for something. And that something didn't come in the form of, oh man, if I was just an inch taller. Oh man, if I just made $5 more. These weren't incremental changes you were looking for, which is the whole reason that this platform and this school even exists. And right now we're in the middle of our Learning to Live lecture series, like I mentioned. And the reason it's named that is because a lot of this game is not even about X's and O's. There's a saying in football, it's like, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jims and Joes. Because you can move around things and move levers here and there and do all this, and you can build up a skill to your heart's content. But another good analogy I like to think of in terms of skills versus attributes is, we all know that mechanic that has every tool in the toolbox, but they can't fix anything. We all know that person. And that most times that's folks' dads and moms, and you go down to your basement, it's like, hey, we got a XYZ to fix the XY to ABC. And they're like, oh yeah, it's down there in the toolbox. And you go down there, you open up the thing. Normally it's like this big red, what is it, like Black and Decker, I think is a name brand. You got this big red cabinet, and you got all these sliding drawers. You got every wrench you can think of. You got every hammer that you need. You got every drill bit possible. You got four different types of drills. And can't nobody in the house fix anything. You still call in a plumber. You ever thought about that? And the plumber will pull up with one tool, maybe two, one tool belt, and maybe some backup in the truck, but he or she is never going back to the truck. So my point here, as you can already imagine, is that as you evaluate your artistic ability, as you evaluate your skill set, as you evaluate your place and whether you are where you want to be, you're not quite where you want to be, or you're past the point of where you thought you'd be and you don't know what to do next, a lot of what comes next has to do with your ability to separate skills from attributes. How does the 1%, how do you move from being in the top 5% into the top 1% of whatever you're doing? And we all know what that difference is. That's a scary difference. Nobody ever talks about that. Nobody ever talks about the folks who, it's never a popular story. Nobody ever talks about the folks who are making $95,000 but have been making that for the past three and a half years and don't know what to do to make $105,000. Just to make 10%, $10,000 more a year. And I guarantee it has nothing to do with skills. Has nothing to do with skills. So I would suggest, highly suggest, to first decide which attributes matter for you. And this has to go, and if you go back and search through our log, you'll find at least one or two different lectures on a code of conduct. And I've talked about the code of conduct before, the artist code of conduct. I'd recommend going to listen to that. And also coming back to this one and re-listening and just tracking in your life as you listen, whether you're at the gym, whether you're waking up first thing in the morning, getting coffee, going to bed, just chilling out, going for a walk. On your 20-minute walk, because I'm going to wrap up here in a second, just ask yourself, what are the attributes that actually matter for me that I would pass down to an offspring, that I would tell a friend because I'm trying to hold them accountable? And like, what are those things? Am I courageous? Am I clear about what I want to do? Am I productive? Am I excellent? Is it a necessity to be excellent? Am I a contributor? Am I flexible? Like, these are attributes. This has nothing to do with your ability to draw anything, do color theory, do all these things that people go and Google about like, man, teach me graphic design, teach me architecture, teach me this, teach me that, teach me how to make beats, teach me how to, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bro, like, you can teach everybody any of these things, but that's still not going to get you. And you're just going to be, quite frankly, you're just going to be a dunk contest champion. That's cool. That's nice. That's not why you play the game, though. So anyway, hopefully this is helpful for you today. Like I said, we're going to be having a lot more honest conversations throughout this Learning to Live lecture series. I really hope they find you well. And I hope they find you in a spirit that is accountable and is holding you to a higher standard that you know is within you and what's in us all. So let's do it together. Let's step out here. Let's be great. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, rest of your weekend, rest of your week, wherever you are in your day, sending you blessings, sending you peace, sending you love and light. Till next time. Peace.